Okay, welcome back. Last update of the year for you on the Jeff and Erica COVID Chronicles, three times a week get together here. It's been quite a year, and I'm not particularly happy to say it, but 2024 looks to be the main event. This was a very rugged, difficult year for a lot of people. Tons and tons of misinformation, disinformation, which we have tried our best to sort out for all of you. And we know many people are listening right now. You're all around the world because you care about this and you're trying to find out the truth. Boy, have we been conned. That's one of the things I can say with certainty. I've never seen more disinformation about anything. It's quite remarkable. So many phonies, frauds, controlled opposition platforms, believe it. They're all over the net, and especially in the alt-news world. The mainstream media is a mess, and you will not get anything close to the truth. They don't even talk about shedding. But the alt-news world is full of carpetbaggers, phonies, hustlers, hucksters. I've never seen anything like it. And people who have clearly ill intent when they're occupying these positions of influence. They don't want us to know, and they're doing their best to misdirect and confuse us. As you look back on this year, young lady, what do you think? How bad was it, and what do you expect that's coming?
I expected worse, but I don't know if I have a big enough perspective on everything that's happening, you know, at least up front and personal. Right. But I do see, just in general, I mean, people are getting sicker. I think the optimism and hope that some of these injured people had following their shots has
or so-called
faded.
Long haulers, they're
no,
injured.
There's that, too. Yeah. I think that many people who didn't believe there was a virus had a wake-up call, didn't believe in shedding, were shown that it was indeed real. But in general, I'm listening to the paramedic calls. They are definitely increasing in frequency. And I would say in the nature of the calls, they do seem more severe and not as good an outcome. I think a lot of these are actually retrieving people that have, unattended deaths. You know, they've died
right.
At home with
right.
Nobody around.
Right. Yeah. Welfare checks are probably up.
Right. And I see more people being affected by shedding in very, very serious ways. And, it's hard to know what's the virus, because the virus is still out there. And they say 1 in 13 people is actively infected right now. Or what is due to just poisoning from this spike protein and whatever else these people are shedding. Because there's likely some bacterial component to this that's also quite noxious.
Everyone should keep in mind, and we've made this point before, but we talk a lot about the injection, the bioweapon, the death shots. They're clearly synthetic, and they are created. But don't forget that the virus that's running around and any variants thereof, they're all bioweapons. They're created as
right.
Well. So don't forget that. It's not just a common cold virus running around, you get over it. We now have solid evidence that up to 2 years they've been able to check so far, that long, after having the COVID virus and getting over it, you never got over it. It just went to a very low background level, and it's still producing spike protein and other nefarious things that we don't even adequately catalog sometimes. There's a lot of them. So this thing
well,
doesn't come and go.
Well, there's that possibility. That you never really clear the infection. It may be like a herpes virus where it goes latent for a period of time and then comes out later when you're stressed or you have some other challenge to the immune system. But depending on how severe your infection was, you can have debris, cellular debris, viral debris from that infection that takes a while to clear. And the longer these dead cells and their parts hang around the body, the more likely you are to develop an autoimmune disease from that.
Oh, yeah. This is what we've stepped in, we've been forced into a very huge catastrophic profile of potential extinction-level event activity. And it's not confined just to humans. We know now that it's certainly impacted zoo animals, dogs, and cats, and we don't know if it's out in the wild yet. But this is a highly volatile virus which doesn't restrict itself to human infection. That's another angle of it. Horses, yeah.
And it appears to also be capable of infecting bacteria. You know, that's been known now for a few years, and this Carlo Bronia, the researcher doctor in Italy who first drew attention to that, has recently published another paper in November showing that the spike protein from the vaccine, in this case the mRNA, is persisting in 50% of the people for up to, was it 187 days? But that's now a peer-reviewed paper. And he is speculating. He doesn't know why. What is the source of the protein? Why is it persisting? Is it because the methyl pseudouridine, the synthetic mRNA, is not breaking down? Mm-hmm. Or is it because there was genomic integration of the mRNA? Or is it because the bacteria have picked up the genetic material or somehow been transformed into replicating the spike protein? So that research is ongoing. We don't have any answers, just theories right now. And then, of course, that doesn't include the possibility of these DNA plasmids that were recently discovered also transfecting a person's bacteria. And, you know, if that's happening, that's, boy.
We're in trouble.
Because bacteria, you are colonized by more bacterial cells than you are human cells.
Yep.
And if you're not in harmony or equilibrium or symbiosis with your bacteria, you're in real trouble.
This is, again, we talked about the Medusa and all the snakeheads. This has more snakeheads than you'd imagine. If you've been listening to us, you get an idea. There's so many ways that this thing is anti-life. It's really an ultimate bioweapon. I don't know how they could have improved upon it much. They've got plausible deniability. Everyone has a different fuse length in terms of how long they're going to make it after they take one or more of these shots. It's really something. And it is, without question, as Chetty said, Dr. Chetty, the most evil, deadly thing mankind has ever produced. No question.
It sure is.
If you look
now,
and guess,
I just read a headline. I didn't read the full story yet. They're finding sky-high levels of viral debris in the water supplies now, the wastewater. More than they've ever found, for whatever that means.
Not tap water yet, but
yet.
Wastewater. Okay. Sewage.
Yeah.
Remember what they've done in California? They've given the green light now. It's law. Any municipality can take its sewage and kind of like drain out all the water from it and then purify the water and put it right back into the municipal water supply, fluoride included. And what's in that water? What's in the water? We know proteins are in the water. Proteins don't die, not easily at all. So you got spike protein in there. You may have LNPs and mRNA in there. Why not? And then you have
endless,
all of this.
Endless chemicals, pharmaceuticals, agricultural runoff, you know, just you name it.
And so they're putting that back into your tap in California. This is all, everywhere you look, there's another implement in this life-destroying machine of death, this engine of destruction, so many different ways.
You know, and it's incredible that this could happen and nobody's saying anything.
Nobody's disenfranchised.
Objecting to it?
they don't have the ability to gain access to the mainstream media platform, and never will again. That's gone. So
right.
Where are they going to take their gripe? Are they going to write a letter to a congressman? Are they going to suggest a bill be introduced somewhere? What are they going to do? Nothing. There's nothing they can do. They have been disempowered, disenfranchised, unplugged from the matrix of control and input to what used to be a government at least vaguely representing the will of the people. In guests under our names, the great pathologist, Dr. Arne, A-R-N-E, Arne Burkhardt, who died about a year ago, gave one final interview. It was about a two-hour interview, and explained and showed how the spike protein incites the T lymphocytes to destroy the spike-afflicted cells in your body. Now, we've covered this a couple times, but this is a really wonderful interview with an extraordinary man, gentle, kind, brilliant, a career pathologist who came out of his plans to go into retirement to stay in and fight through this COVID crisis. And his contributions are enormous. And this is a two-hour interview. I don't expect all of you to look at it. Everyone's got a 5 to 10 minute span now, or most everyone. But I would urge you to look at it at some point, however much you can, and just get an idea of the work and the level of achievement this man was investing into trying to solve this riddle of death, and how it was unprecedented, the things he was finding. He's a great man, truly a great man. And if you want to watch along, I'll tell you where I'll start. Just click on that description under Jeff and Erica, and the video will come up, and you can pull it up. It's a Rumble video. And I must also, and I don't do this very often, I don't like most interviews. People don't do well, but the interviewer in this particular video was well prepared and very well spoken, and it was a very nice way for Arne to leave his last mark, so to speak, in the world of media. It's a wonderful interview and a tribute to everything he did and tried to accomplish. So thank you, Dr. Arne Burkhardt, for that. So I'm going to start at 1720, or 1722, actually, on this video. So you want to pull that up there. Anything you want to say about Dr. Burkhardt?
Well, I think he was really instrumental in showing us where the spike is ending up after it's been injected. And it is, in fact, he was the first one to confirm, at least publicly, that it is, in fact, transfecting the endothelial cells, all the lining of your blood vessels. These lipid nanoparticles are going into that delicate layer and causing them to produce spike. And that's one of the pathways it's instant clotting. When the endothelium is damaged and because of yes. There's a foreign protein sticking out of it, that is going to start a clotting process.
You're not whistling Dixie. This is real bad, and he was the man who found that out, that the inside layer of cells on your veins and arteries is being attacked. And that's where clotting begins to build and aggregate, accumulate, agglutinate, grow.
But if you think about it, once you destroy either the blood or the blood vessels, in this case it's both, every organ suffers. Every single organ. Without blood and without a
right.
vasculature, you've got no way to sustain your organs.
Blood is life, and they've attacked the blood, destroyed the blood with this horror, these shots, and the virus to a significant degree because it produces spike too. Don't forget that. It's just unbelievably deadly, this whole combination is. The plumbing is being destroyed, your vessels and arteries, and capillaries. The spike goes into a capillary and gets involved with a cell on the wall of the capillary, and that capillary will shut down. And there's microclotting right there. And the cells that are being served by that capillary also die. That's what happens in the brain, most notably in many cases. People begin to suffer brain problems. We've talked about that. We've done a program about prion proteins recently, and I hope you listen to that. All right. Well, let me go ahead and we're going to play just a few clips from this, but I really want you to hear this, the wisdom of this great man who is no longer with us, but his contributions hopefully will always be in the record book about this catastrophe that has been turned loose on the human species. All right, here we go.
And on the right, lymphocytic myocarditis after the vaccine. Can you explain to us the observed abnormalities that you see with the image on the right?
Well, on the left side, you see the muscle cells, which are elongated and have these long nuclei. But
let me just bring you up to speed, those of you who are not able to see this. So two slides, left and right, and they're showing heart tissue. The muscle, the heart is a muscle, is showing muscle tissue. On the left side, as Dr. Burkhardt is saying, are nice, elongated, parallel muscle fibers in the heart. And on the right, you're going to see in the pictures, and if you can't see it, those T lymphocytes, again, stained blue. Well, it's actually the nuclei of the T lymphocytes that you see, but you're seeing T lymphocytic cells. Those are some of our frontline troops in our alleged immune system that we used to have, and they've done tremendous damage to these nice, long, linear muscle fibers in the heart, leaving scar tissue behind, and they're all together killing more cells. They're killing the heart muscle cells because of the spike. All right.
Right side, you see that in the middle between these muscle cells are small blue dots, which are the nuclei of lymphocytes. Lymphocytes are immunologically active cells, and apparently they have been attracted by some antigenic material that is in the heart. Now, of course, one or two lymphocytes are always seen in a section, but not aggregations like that. You may compare this to the police controlling a city, for example. Now, if you see one policeman or policewoman, that's okay. I mean, that's normal. If you see two, it's still not alarming. But if you all of a sudden you see 50 policemen, then you know there must be some trouble somewhere in the city. And that's the same in the heart muscle. I mean, if I see one or two lymphocytes, that's normal. And they control, so to say, if there's anything wrong. But if they are aggregated like this in clumps, there's something wrong. And that's myocarditis. By the way, myocarditis, as a consequence of vaccination, of the so-called vaccination, is now internationally recognized. I mean, this is nothing that we have to prove anymore. This has been proven and is a solid scientific standard.
Absolutely. Now, with this particular case that we are referencing here, do you know what symptoms the person had? And if not, what symptoms would you expect one to experience in a case like this?
Just a quick note here. Now, pay attention. This is very important. So many people who have been injected or shed upon complain of headaches all the time. And this is interesting. You'll hear what Dr. Burkhardt says about some of the symptoms. It's a little hard to understand it, but he's saying headache.
Well, the main symptom is fatigues.
That's it.
And physical deterioration, the necessity to sleep after some sportive activity and physical
fatigue,
strain. So actually, we had 31 cases among the 75 cases where it was stated they died of heart failure. And normal heart failure, like arrhythmogenic failure and so on. And of these 31 cases, actually in 15 cases there was a perimyocarditis inflammation. And in the other 16, we saw what is called a microangiopathy, that is changes in the small vessels that have nothing to do with arteriosclerosis, which of course is normal in older patients.
So the changes in the vessels that actually serve that heart muscle were obviously caused by T lymphocytic attacks or spike attacks on the endothelial part of each little vessel. So really good work. And there's a possible answer for a lot of these headaches. Myocarditis. Certainly brain damage is another part of that possible equation. Pretty interesting. He's done, on average, between 1,500 and 2,000 autopsies a year in his career.
Wow.
A year. So this man was a
knows
true
his
giant.
Stuff.
Yeah. Great loss. He also goes on to say, I'm going to advance this up a little bit here. Hold on. See if I can get this right. 2021. He also mentions about thyroid damage from the spike. And this is important as well. The spike will destroy anything. And again, the mechanism is rather simple. The spike goes to work on a healthy cell, and that healthy cell then attracts what's left of your immune system and the T lymphocytes and other cells, but primarily T, will go after these spike-infested cells and kill them. The cell is no longer functional, and it's their job to root them out and remove them from the physiology of the body. So here he's going to talk about, and if you're looking at the video, it's 2220 around there, and you'll see the two slides showing healthy thyroid cells and lymphocytic infiltration and destruction of those otherwise once healthy thyroid cells. It's very interesting.
Because which contain the thyroid hormone, and the hormone is, of course, needed for the body. And on the right side, you see that these structures are lacking, and instead of these structures, there's lymphocytic infiltrations, which we already have seen in the other pictures. So these lymphocytes destroy the thyroid tissue, and this is a well-known autoimmune disease, which is known for many years, and it, of course, occurs without vaccination. But after this vaccination, we see it more often. And in these people that we saw the autopsies, in many cases, this disease was not known before. So it probably started or was at least promoted by the vaccination. We asked about if there were symptoms before, and nobody knew anything about a thyroid disease in this person.
So this person did not have any pre-existing condition that could maybe put them at risk for something like this?
No.
Interesting. Okay. Is this damage reversible?
Once the thyroid glands is destroyed, this is not reversible. It does not have the capability of reconstruction. But it can be treated, of course, by giving the hormone medical treatment.
Okay, so again, it's spike protein inciting your immune system to destroy yourself. Get it? I think you do. You're the best out there. You are the most well-informed listeners, I think, and people who are concerned about this in the world. And that does mean the whole world, all of you. You care. All right, let's see. What else?
You know, it gets
anything
a little
to that?
Even worse because the spike protein has also been shown to attack the thymus gland, which is where your T cells are educated.
Uh-huh.
And this would have profound, I mean, always when you age, the thymus gland shrinks. So by the time you're 20, you have pretty much your full repertoire of T cells. But with children, theirs is still developing. And if they are either doused with spike or they get the virus and that virus finds its way to their thymus, that could have some very profound consequences down the road in terms of, you know, their immune development. I would think that, you know, they're going to be missing a big part of their immune system, that whole innate immune system that relies on T cell production. That will be a sad day if, you know, that comes to fruition.
Many sad days ahead, unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right, here, Arnie is going to talk about now what Eric has been talking about for almost 3 years, and that's the damage to the endothelial cells inside the blood vessels and the arteries. So here's his, this is a little piece here. It's very good.
The body. But these two possibilities have completely different access to the body cells. If you have the viral infection, the toxic spike protein first has to pass through the epithelium, and the epithelium is immunocompetent and already has the capability of detoxification and destruction of harmful elements. But
Erica, you want to go over that real quickly. The endothelial cells are incompetent. What is he talking about here?
I'm not sure I heard him.
All right, let me back it up. This is important. He's talking about two ways, basically, to become infested with spike protein. One is the bioweapon virus, and two is the bioweapon injection. All right, I'm going to back this up just a little. Okay. Now, he's going to talk first about the virus causing the spike infestation.
The body. But these two possibilities have completely different access to the body cells. If you have the viral infection, the toxic spike protein first has to pass through the epithelium, and the epithelium is immunocompetent and already has the capability of detoxification and destruction of harmful elements. But the endothelium, which is the lining of the vessels, is not an immunocompetent cell structure. So the toxin that is entering into the bloodstream and into the lymphatic vessels directly hits the cells that are not able to defend themselves. So they may be destroyed. They may be destroyed by toxic action, and they may be destroyed by immunologic attack.
Okay, you got it that time. Most important thing to understand is the two different methods of conquest that the spike will utilize in its attempt to end your life. And that's what it's doing. He also talks later on, I think I've got that clip, about liquid nanoparticles, how toxic they are. And
mm-hmm.
it makes it quite clear that we can't see them, because they're nanoparticles. He says, we can't see them in the microscope. So these
right.
people, like Dr. Anna, who claim to be able to witness nanoparticulate activity, they're nuts, especially with a light microscope or even a dark field microscope. So anyhow, all right, that's pretty good material, as to say it very mildly. Let's see, what do I have here? 30. All right, let's do this. He's going to talk a little bit about the aortal wall, which is important, because when the aorta becomes inflamed, and remember, ultimately, this virus and the shots, especially the shots and the spike, cause inflammation. You don't want to be in an inflammatory state. It's very, very bad for your body. So here's more.
Dissection.
Yes, if you look at the left side, on top you see the lumen of the aorta where once the blood was flowing. Then there is the inner section of the aorta, and below there's a dissection, and then you have the outer wall. So as I said, the wall is split into two. And you see the red here is the bleeding, and then you see this line of blue dots. These are inflammatory cells. And on the right side, we have a higher magnification. And here you can see that actually on the left side, you see the inner wall of the aorta, and then on the right side, the bleeding. And in the interface, there is this infiltration of mostly lymphocytic cells. Some macrophages are also there.
Now, I'm about 30 minutes and 30 seconds, if you're watching this or if you want to catch up with it. And it shows the cross-section of the artery. So let's say you have a garden hose and you cut it in half. You're looking right down into the opening of that hose. That's an artery. And there are exterior cells around the hose or the artery. And at the bottom of those external cells in these pictures are lots of little blue dots. They're all aggregated around the base of the cell. So they've been brought there by the blood, the immunology of the blood. These are the nuclei. They're dyed blue of T lymphocyte cells. And then on the right side is a close-up of those T lymphocyte cells gathered at the bottom of these exterior cellular members of the artery itself.
Do we do this? I mean, the dissection of the aorta you can see by without the microscope, but of course a dissection of the aorta may have different causes. And one is an older person, the arteriosclerosis. But if you look here on the left side again, you don't see any sign of arteriosclerosis here.
So you were...
Okay, so he's saying that older people end up with arterial sclerosis or atherosclerosis. And he said in the images there, and you'll see it, there's no evidence of that. The damage is being done by the T lymphocytes, which are coming after the spike proteins, which are in the cells that are actually creating and constructing the artery. And your body, again, is destroying itself. This is, whoever did this is one of the most evil bastards you can imagine. And I know there's more than one. There's a group. And I do think there's some other intelligence involved. It's just too diabolically diverse in the ways it takes people apart.
I agree.
All right, here, let's see. I've got a couple more. I'm going to jump to the end. And the interviewer asked him, will all mRNA vaccines, and you know that all vaccines are now being basically reformatted into the mRNA format, that formula is being used all over the place, will all mRNA vaccines cause damage, like the particular Pfizer Moderna so-called vaccination, the mRNA platform for that. So let me get to there. Here we go. 204. No, I got to go back just a little bit. There. All right. Will all mRNA vaccines cause damage?
That are not necessarily to protect against the COVID-19 virus?
That's a difficult question. Apparently, in the COVID-19 vaccination, the main harmful agent is the spike protein. But if you read or listen to my what I publish or say, I always speak of spike-associated damages because I can see the damage. I can see there's spike there, but I cannot say the damage is done by the spike. It could be that the spike is only one bystander and that the lipid nanoparticles and other contaminations of the vaccines are responsible. So this is why I take this, I think, scientifically correct denomination, spike-associated damages.
Have you been able to observe, or rather, have you tested for harms caused by the lipid?
Well, unfortunately, nanoparticles, as the word nano says, they are not visible in the microscope. They are beyond the microscope. So,
okay, I want to repeat. Any of these idiots in the alt media world talking about nano this and nano that had better have transmission electron microscopes in their labs, or they better shut up, because they can't see these things. Okay?
That's what we've been saying.
Yeah, I cannot see them.
Okay.
And unfortunately, lipids are not accessible for immunohistochemistry, okay, because they are not proteins, but they are lipids. But we do have some not yet completely confirmed indications that these lipid nanoparticles may form crystalline-like formations with cholesterol. And we see these very strange particles in many organs of the deceased, that this is one of the things that we still have to clarify.
Okay, I'm not sure that Arnie got to clarify any of that or lived long enough to see it, because this was done very shortly before he passed. There's one other thing I want to do here, and that's, she asked him why some people have these almost instant or very short term after vax tragic responses, massive damage. And he explains why, in his view, that happens. And I don't think many of you will figure that out. I didn't, but he makes it clear. This is the first person I've ever heard try to explain that. You know anything about this in advance? Have you run across anything? No one's talking about
this. Well, my
this.
Understanding is that they are having, an anaphylactic response to one of the ingredients, the PEG, polyethylene glycol, which is
right.
supposed to be a surfactant or emulsifier and help the lipid nanoparticles evade the immune system. That is thought to be a trigger in a fairly high percentage of people. That, people have become sensitized to polyethylene glycol because it's in so many consumer products, both topical and ingested.
Right. All right. Well, you got part of it, but it's even more simple than that. And I was kind of amazed, but here it is. Here's why some people have immediate, terrible responses within an hour or a day or a week. And it's a physical issue. It's how the killer injection, the bioweapon injection, is actually administered. Now, check this out.
I cannot make a definite statement about this, but this is something possible, and I would say as soon as we do not have a clear answer to this, if it's only the spike or if it's other, especially the nanoparticles, every vaccination with this modified messenger RNA should be stopped until we know more.
All right, here it comes.
What causes some people to have severe symptoms after vaccination and others to not have any symptoms?
Yes, well, this refers to what you might call the vaccination paradox. There are millions vaccinated, and for many times it was said there are no side effects, but this definitely now has been withdrawn, and everybody admits that there are serious, even deadly complications. Now, there may be quite a number of explanations. One, of course, I hope this is the case, that most or many of the charges were not efficient, especially if you look at these vaccination streets, as we call them in Germany. I mean, they were not cooled properly and so on. Then there may be some charges that are different so-called, I think there's a website about the charges that are especially...
Where's my batch, or yeah, find
okay,
my batch.
Yeah.
How bad is my batch?
How bad is my batch? Yes, how
yes.
bad is my batch?
Genau, exactly. And then I personally think that it's a question...
All right, here it is. This is very interesting.
The injection was applied. I don't know if you have followed this, but in 2016, the WHO said that for vaccine injections, you don't have to aspirate to see if you are in a blood vessel. And they argued at that time that children at that time... mostly children were vaccinated, that the vessels in children are so small that you don't hit them with a needle. And it would be impossible to do this. But we measured the vessels in the deltoid muscles, and they easily... A needle of the type that you use for vaccination easily can get into these vessels.
So it's possible that some people, adults who have been vaccinated against COVID-19, the needle actually went into the blood vessel, and
yes.
that is what's causing them to have a worse reaction.
Well, yes.
And then is it also, too, perhaps the amount of the vaccine contents that circulate throughout the body, would that also have an impact on how severe someone's symptoms would be post-vaccination?
Well, I think it's absolutely clear that if you get what you call a bolus injection, is very dangerous. Bolus is that means all the vaccine is directly into the blood. I mean, This is true for every toxin and for every drug. The higher the concentration, the higher the side effects. And this may be an explanation. And in February 2022, this recommendation by the WHO was withdrawn. And they said only for the... messenger RNA vaccinations, we recommend aspiration. And
okay, only for the mRNA vaccinations, the WHO changes position, should you aspirate to make sure you're not injecting directly into a blood vessel. Okay? So why did they change their mind? Because they knew they had big trouble, and people were falling
over dead on the
spot.
You know, since he passed away... Now the news has come out about the DNA contaminants, and DNA can provoke a very inflammatory systemic response.
Like Tiffany
when
Dover.
Injected. Yeah, yeah. And there's also now confirmed endotoxin in these shots, and that will do the same thing.
Right. So we have between 200 billion and 400 billion DNA particles that aren't supposed to be in these injections in every one of them. So that's part of what we're talking about here. Okay, that's all for tonight. And you can just click on that under our names and look at the whole thing or go back and revisit it. It's a wonderful tribute to Dr. Burkhart. Very well done. And he's a remarkable man. So there you go. All right, we got some readers we want to try and jump into here. Real quick, as we wind up 2023. Goodbye. All right. I know I have to pick here. All right. Let's have some fun and just go right to smells. All right. Let's see what that is. Today is the first time I think that I smelled vaxxed people. Until now, I never smelled anything. But today I suddenly started smelling the smell of dryer sheets real strong. Even after I got home, it smelled strong as I put some dryer sheets up my nose and wrapped it all around. How does one get rid of that smell? Someone answers, when I first smelled it, is what she meant. She actually wrote smelt, S-M-E-L-T. That's the name of a fish, a smelt. Yeah, I'll bet you didn't know that. A smelt. All right. When I first smelt it, I thought the same as you. But after constantly smelling it regularly, the smell is definitely stronger and more revolting. I wished we could turn off our noses. Go ahead.
Well, again, I'll just say that to me looks like they've become sensitized to aldehydes. You've developed a chemical sensitivity to aldehydes. And right. That means your liver needs support.
Yep. Okay, there's part two and part three, so go ahead with those if you want.
Okay, someone says, welcome to the club. Man, it's sticky as unbelievable that most people cannot smell it. To get the smell out of my nose, I spray CDS, then take a concoction of pills and potions these days. For the smell and fabric, I have recently discovered tea tree oil might be the best way to get it out, thank heavens. And someone else says, it smelled more like iron 3 years ago when COVID started. As the months or years went by, it disappeared. I feel more tense with jabbed, whose bodies are accompanied or filled by demons or obscure entities, I noticed, except they don't feel or notice anything. And this blistering headache nowadays. Still a week to go, and I am finally at my own place and can finally wind down, but it is hard. And another one says, for Moderna, in high concentration, it smelled like a decomposing corpse to me.
Wow. All right, here's a Christmas fallout story. Here's my Christmas shedding story. I was forced to spend time with unvaxxed people at a family gathering. Unvaxxed. Oh, I'm sorry. Vaxxed. I was forced to spend time with vaccinated people at a Christmas family gathering. There were a couple of two-timers, two shots, and that seemed to be okay. But in walked a true believer who has had at least three jabs I know about, and likely more. My nose immediately started tingling, despite the fact that I was maintaining 8 or more feet distance at all times. And my unjabbed wife reported the same effect. And then a little baby there started sneezing and wrinkling his nose. The two-shot people, the two dosers, however, were oblivious to it. It only impacts the unjabbed. Today, I have a severe headache. I'm tired and tiny blood clots in my nose. Same for the wife. No headache, but more blood in the nose than I had. So again, this is a story about people having to go spend time with the vaxxed at a family gathering. You want to finish that off? Go ahead.
Here's the kicker. This stuff is persistent. When my wife was sorting the laundry today from yesterday's clothing, she reported more nose tingling, and I also felt it too. It's like evil, invisible, persistent dust. My best guess as to the mechanism here is that these highly jabbed people are so thoroughly transfected that the spike, or whatever it is even in their skin cells, and they are releasing it from their bodies in similar fashion to pet dander. So just like some people cannot walk into a house with a cat without sensing it, I cannot walk into any room with a transfected jabber without being impacted by it. I am allergic to them.
Now,
I would say that's probably accurate. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Think about all the people that Thanksgiving, Christmas, really had to spend time with their vaxxed opposites. And it does work both ways. There are problems. But this is another kind of a bellwether story. He felt forced to spend time with vaxxed people at a family gathering. And it's hard to say, no, we're not coming. It's very hard. We've made that clear for a long time. We don't envy people in that position. That's very difficult. And it's obviously something that has ramifications. Here's another example. It's called shedding. All right.
Yep.
Anything you want to add to this? We're going to, I think Arnie Burkhart was excellent. Was he 84? Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. It is a great loss because he was really doing a lot of the science to back up right. The hypotheses that you know, the conjecture that we what we think is happening, and he was proving it.
So many people in the alt media are doing exactly the opposite. They're saying what they think is happening or what they want you to believe is happening. And
yeah.
Many of them have agendas that are tawdry at best. It's not a good situation. So be damn careful out there. Don't jump on any bandwagons. There, unfortunately, is no cure for any of this yet. We'll leave that out there and look forward maybe to this next year. And if we find anything out, you'll be the first to know. You know that. So wonderful year, my partner, and thank you for everything, as always. Great job.
Well, likewise. Likewise. It's been a privilege and a joy to keep updating.
Yeah. We appreciate all of you out there as well. Thanks for caring. That's what we're doing here, our best to help you understand. All right. Good night.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
And we'll be back with more in just a few minutes.